And joining us today is the, well, he's the pharmacist. He's the guy that pretty much distributes all the medications there at Emmanuel Lutheran Home and, in fact, all the communities. Thank you for joining us today, Gary Morrison.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, just kind of tell me what a pharmacist does there at Emmanuel Lutheran.
There are a number of roles for the pharmacist. The consultant pharmacist reviews the medications for each of the residents once every month. It's an additional safety check. You want as many eyes looking at a medical treatment program as possible, and we do everything we can to ensure the safety of each and every one of the residents that live there. It's so important that state and federal regulations require someone to do that task on a monthly basis because it is good for them. More often than not, consultant pharmacists will recommend stopping medications rather than starting new ones. As we age, sometimes things that were effective earlier are no longer important in our life, so we recommend stopping those things. Places like Emmanuel Lutheran Home do a lot to care for people in the waning years of their lives when they're physically failing. But in addition to that, in 2013, Montanans spent 54 million hours of unpaid care caring for loved ones at home before they progressed to the place where they needed a facility like Emmanuel Lutheran Communities.
Now, do you get involved with the doctor who makes the prescription?
We do that with some regularity, yes. Mm-hmm. We write recommendations on a monthly basis whenever it's appropriate.
So you're just another pair of eyes and ears on the patient as they continue to take their medications.
Exactly. We do everything we can to help look out for the well-being of each and every resident.
Let's talk a little bit about the one thing that seems to catch people in aging, and that's dementia.
It's a painful topic. That's why it's so familiar to so many people. We described it a little over 100 years ago. When we speak of Alzheimer's, we're talking about a man originally identified it, lived in southern Germany in 1906, and his name was Aloysius Alzheimer's. So once he described it, we named that pathology after him. Unfortunately, we've been working for over 100 years looking for effective medical treatments, and we haven't come up with a very good solution as yet.
Have we come up with any ideas to why it starts, how it begins?
We do. There are a whole lot of theories. Some of them involve pathology of the brain of one sort or another. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as diabetes, excessive alcohol, brain trauma. But the current theories that have the most promise involve proteins that are abnormal in the brain. As we age, these proteins are not supposed to be created. They are a mistake of some sort. They are a true disease. Alzheimer's is not a part of aging. So if we can find a way to alter the brain, making these proteins that damage the brain structure itself, we could go a long ways towards slowing, stopping, or hopefully even reversing the damage we see from Alzheimer's disease.
We'll talk about some future medications here in just a moment. In your role as a consulting pharmacist at Emmanuel Lutheran Communities, of course, you're looking at all of the communities, not just the skilled care center.
That's true.
Yeah. So how can you help somebody who's just maybe just beginning there in retirement, for example?
It is a continuum of care concept. Mm-hmm. So when you first start there, your needs are really very small in most cases. Many of the folks continue to deal with the same pharmacy they dealt with for years when they lived at their own home. But we're available to offer them any kind of services that they need that require pharmacist involvement, whether it's a consultation about their medicine or the actual dispensing of medicines.
You actually spend time with the patients then?
We do. We get to see them firsthand. When you're first starting this business, I've done it more than 20 years now, and it's a painful transition because most of us aren't used to having that face-to-face interaction with people who are at part of the worst part of their life.
Yeah.
It's hard to get used to, and not all pharmacists like that work. It's a little too personal for a lot of us.
Yeah, I would think it would be. I have difficulty. I have difficulty with geriatrics. I always have. I went through it with my parents. I went through it with my aunt, who spent 6 years there at Emmanuel Lutheran Communities, and my uncle, who was there for several years, too. So I kind of learned how to get used to it, but I never really got comfortable with it.
It's difficult to become truly comfortable. Someone you've known and loved for a lifetime, for example, with a parent, to see the decline really kind of takes a bite out of your soul.
Yeah.
That you just hate to see it, but you have to accept that that's where they are in life now, and do everything we can to minimize their suffering.
Of all the people you see there at Emmanuel Lutheran Communities and all of the communities that you have there, would you estimate how many of them are dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's?
In the short term, it's probably be about 20% of them.
Okay.
Some of them are heading down that road, and they're in the early stages. What we try to do during early stages as a medical community is do whatever we can with the tools we currently have to slow that progression of the disease. But it is a progressive disease process, and we don't yet know how to stop it.
You know, when you're in a situation where you're being observed on a daily basis like that, and you, as you say, it's a progressive thing, I would think it would be really helpful to be in a position where somebody is kind of keeping an eye on you on a day-to-day basis.
That's a big help. You have someone looking out for your well-being. There are so many things that can go wrong. Getting lost. It seems cruel to lock people in a facility.
Yeah.
But yet, if they were to go out on a day like yesterday, and they're out in wind chill that's cold and unpleasant, death follows fairly quickly if someone escapes their house into bad weather.
Well, we've got a tough situation with dementia and Alzheimer's, but there is some hope on the horizon, and we'll ask Gary Morrison about that right after this. And joining us from Emmanuel Lutheran Communities, consultant pharmacist Gary Morrison. So, Gary, do we have any medications on the horizon that can eventually do away with this horrible thing?
We are certainly hoping that that's the case. We currently have only 4 medications on the market approved for this, and they're not nearly as effective as we would like them to be. But in research right now, there are documented 119 studies taking place specifically for this disease. And that's a worldwide study. This is not a disease limited to just the United States. It's worldwide. So out of these 119 drug molecules that we're working on, we have real hope that some of them are going to be able to change the progression of the disease, slow it, stop it, and if in a perfect world, reverse the damage that we do find.
I would imagine as a consulting pharmacist, you're keeping a pretty close eye on these studies.
We are. The trouble with some of the studies is that the disease is so slow, the studies take 10 years to complete because you have to compare it to a very large group of people to see if your new medication is actually doing some good. What we tend to see in a study situation is everybody is looking for a good outcome. So they sometimes identify a good outcome when it isn't really there. It was just their wishful thinking.
And a lot of times in these research studies, they may come to a conclusion that this is a good medication, but then they follow it even afterwards once it goes on the market because they want to make sure it really is doing what they'd hoped it would do.
Absolutely. In a test setting, things can be different than they are in the real world. So especially after marketing, the post-marketing studies are looking for side effect profiles we hadn't anticipated and just looking in general to make sure that the product is really as effective as we had hoped it would be.
In your time at Emmanuel Lutheran, have you seen any of these come on the market?
Yes, all 4 that we have now are relatively recent.
Mm-hmm. And so you're watching the progression of these and making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do.
We would like to think that, and they do some good. I don't want to downplay that, but they only slow the progression at best. They don't stop it, and they don't prevent the ultimate outcome of death.
Well, what about preventative treatments like lifestyle modification?
We do look at that. There are a lot of theories out there, basic simple things of life that don't have untreated diabetes, don't drink excessive amounts of alcohol. and especially important for our youth population, is avoid head trauma. Head trauma seems to be a fairly possible contributing factor for brain damage later in life.
Well, we have a lot of people in their 30s and 40s and early 50s that are developing type 1 diabetes. Is this what we're talking about?
We think that's a contributing factor, yes.
And at what point does this become a difficult thing for somebody that may eventually become a patient for dementia?
It's hard to really quantify that part. But if you do everything you can to have a what we call a healthy lifestyle, you mm-hmm. do everything you can to put yourself in a position to have the best possible golden years, as we like to call them.
Well, you get to the point of needing insulin. I would imagine even just taking the insulin the way you're supposed to take it would help stave this off.
Compliance is a very big issue in diabetes in general. The more compliant the patient can be, the better control they can have, the better outcome they can hope to get from it.
In your role as a consulting pharmacist, are you in a position to help ensure compliance?
We review it. We don't mm-hmm. actually do it. The nursing staff takes care of that. But we do look at that as one of the parameters of quality care.
But that is something you do at Emmanuel Lutheran, is try to make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do.
That's exactly what
we do.
When
it comes to medications, I mean.
Right. It is about medications. We look at the doses and validate that they were, in fact, given and that the doses are appropriate for the case.
Some long-term care facilities like Emmanuel Lutheran Communities, we can kind of take a look at the role in a more broad and general terms. And we'll do that with Gary Morrison right after this. Our guest is the consulting pharmacist, Gary Morrison. How long have you been associated with Emmanuel Lutheran Communities?
A little more than 20 years.
Okay, so you've seen an awful lot of progression.
There's been a lot of change in the last 20 years at Emmanuel Lutheran Communities,
gosh, in 20 years now, we've seen Buffalo Hill Terrace come online. At one time, it was just a skilled nursing facility. Now it goes even beyond that.
It is. It's a continuum of care concept now, where you sign up for extra care while you're still healthy and still relatively young. And then as your needs progress, as you need more and more care, you can move from level to level to seek exactly the care that's appropriate for your loved one or for you if you're making your own decisions.
So when we're talking about long-term care now, we're actually talking about longer term than we ever have before.
We're living so much longer now than the average individual did just 50 years ago, because of a whole lot of social reasons, dietary, all that sort of thing. Our health in general is better. But one of the downsides of living too long, and I use that phrase advisedly, that if you died when you were 50, you didn't worry about old age diseases. We're not dying at 50 anymore. We're dying at 70, 80, 90, 100. So the mental issues become more and more significant for longer and longer periods of time.
Well, you know, at the turn of the 20th century, the median age for a male in the United States was 42. 42 years was your lifespan.
In much of the world, it's still that way.
Yeah.
But we've had an amazing improvement in lifestyle in the United States. It is a reason people want to come here. Life is better and it's longer.
And that, of course, brings other issues, as you brought up before.
If you live long enough, you're going to have some changes to the brain, just like you have changes to your joints, to your knees hurting all the time. The brain is just one of the parts that is kind of wearing out as we age. Dementia is different, however. That's a true disease process, and that's different than the aging process in general.
How do we distinguish between one and the other?
The only certain way to do it, and I'm not being vulgar here, is as an autopsy. that you look at the brain itself after the individual dies, and you see these characteristic proteins that explain why the outcome was what it was. The brain is physically smaller, and it is physically damaged.
Am I getting just older, or am I starting dementia? That's the question that I would guess everybody would be asking once I get to that point.
It's especially poignant if you spent much of your life in the business, because you look at yourself from that perspective. And I wonder, because I have white hair now, am I getting forgetful? Am I getting demented? Is it part of the normal aging process? Is it just that I have so many new things bouncing around in my head that I had to make room and get rid of some of the old things?
That's my point.
I try to tell myself that.
Okay. What a great conversation. Thank you so much, Pharmacist Gary Morrison.
Thank you for having me.